everyone. I'm Anka Corbin, your host on this Moving Fast Tech podcast. Joining me today is Greg Larson, the SVP of Engineering at Divi. Greg, welcome, and thanks so much for joining me on this Moving Fast Tech podcast and just sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Greg, tell us a little bit about Divi.
Sure. So, Divi is building what we like to call the financial nervous system for every business. And what that means is that we're creating a software platform that's tied to bank products to help companies get capital to spend and ways to then be able to manage that capital and deploy it in meaningful ways, to have visibility into their money and how they're spending it, and to be able to have control and insight into how their company uses the money that they have. And so we have all sorts of products and features and things. For example, a card that's tied to a credit line that companies can use to spend their money, but it's different and innovative in that you can have everyone in the company using the credit card because it's tied to the software that helps you budget intelligently and see in real time what's happening, as well as create spend controls and then automate expense reports by having everything tied into one kind of closed loop system for that. We also have a bill pay product that makes it so you can automate paying big invoices and tickets like that, where you don't have to worry about writing and cutting checks anymore or figuring out the account and routing number for your vendor. That we automate everything away with that, and again, tie it back to all the other spending that your company's doing. We've been around for about 3 years now, so still a fairly young company by many measures, but we've definitely grown incredibly quickly. And it's mostly because we've had an incredible product market fit, where there's obviously been a huge need for what we're providing as a company to our customers, that we've been able to create best-in-class software solutions, as well as working with partners to create great banking products and capital products to make it so businesses can have access to those things. And so, yeah, there's with that, with being young and continuing to grow as quickly, I mean, this is obviously a very relevant podcast for us because we've been moving incredibly quickly. There's a lot of things that come with that that's made it both challenging and really fun rewarding.
So, Greg, what progressive technologies are you seeing getting a lot of traction in your industry today?
I would say that a lot of the more progressive technologies that we see in our industry are coming in from other industries where maybe they're already a bit more commonly adopted and used, whether it be newer, more progressive programming languages or methodologies or practices and things like that. And maybe an example of that is in the financial industry, you've got some really big players that have been around for a long time that are using some pretty old technology. And so maybe kind of almost a laughable example of that is that you have companies that are adopting technologies like having REST APIs as opposed to SOAP APIs and things like that. Whereas in other industries, maybe that's just the only thing that you really see, right? That nowadays, if someone's going to write an API, the cool thing to do at least is write it with REST, right? We're starting to see more of that in the industry in general, but obviously for a smaller, more tech-focused company like Divi in the fintech industry, we're even more progressive than that, I would say. In fact, I'd say we're trying to be pretty progressive without being too bleeding edge. And some of the things that we found really great for us are programming languages that kind of blend different sides of the spectrum with being able to move really quickly and having agile workflows, but then also having scalability and reliability and fault tolerance built in. And so, for example, for us, we use Elixir as a programming language, as a programming language for a lot of what we do. And that's been really great because it allows us to move fast, because that's important for a young startup like us. But also it provides a lot of scalability and reliability almost sort of built in, which makes it so we can grow really quickly with it and not have to invest a lot more in redoing it, rewriting it, or employing different technologies to help with that. We're cloud native, which is also a big part of that. That's something that allows us to move very quickly and scale well as well. And something that's been a practice, maybe not necessarily just a technology, but a practice that we've employed that has been well worth the investment, even maybe more than anyone expected, is this idea of continuous delivery, where we're constantly trying to optimize how quickly we can deploy code to our customers. For us, that happens multiple times a day in literally a quite continuous fashion. And what we've seen is that, for one, it makes it so that our quality has actually been higher because of that, which I think sometimes when people think of constantly pushing out code to production, you naturally think, well, you have less time to test it, you have less time to stabilize it, you're doing more of it, so you're increasing risks of something going wrong. But we've actually found the opposite to be true, that our level of quality has increased with more the increase in times that we deploy throughout the day. So that's been a huge benefit. But another part of it too is that it's been very, really good for the team itself, for engineers to feel more rewarded by the work they're doing, because ultimately they feel most rewarded when they finish something and when they are able to push it out to customers in a production environment and then see customers use it and enjoy the software that the engineers have created. And it also makes it so we can just iterate faster and be more agile, so that we can constantly deploy out smaller chunks of new features and products and things like that, do the validation with customers, maybe in smaller sets sometimes, but just being able to constantly kind of keep things moving and keep the momentum going. Whereas on longer, bigger projects that take more time to deploy and more time between deploys, in my opinion, you increase risk by doing that, because you maybe lose momentum or you introduce more opportunities along the way for something to go wrong. So that's been a really big push for us, is we always come back to how can we improve our pipelines, how can we improve our practices, how can we improve our automation, all those different things, to really lean into continuous delivery so that we can continue to get even better at that.
Mm-hmm. When you look about 5 or 10 years down the road, from your perspective, where do you think innovation in payment or fintech is going? Like, what's that going to look like?
I think a lot of it is going to be around this idea of more real-time data being shared with consumers, with the customers and the users, more real-time transactions, more real-time just kind of everything that. And that's kind of everywhere, like in the payment space and the fintech space at large, is that it's built on kind of some older, again, kind of processes or ideas where, for example, if you want to make a payment somewhere, like you're going to initiate an ACH transfer or something, that people have just kind of gotten used to the fact that it's going to take a few business days in most cases. Or if you, like for us, for example, if you're going to swipe your credit card somewhere to make a purchase, that in most cases a business at least is going to think of it as, well, in a few days we'll see the charge come through, and then we'll, you know, a few days maybe later from then be able to reconcile on our books and things like that. Whereas I think if you kind of compare that with what consumers are kind of seeing, that there's everyone talking about, you know, our culture of everyone wants everything right now. They want it real time. And I think that everyone's going to have to kind of move that way. And I think there's a lot of movement that's going to happen in the fintech space for that. That they're going to have to move and shift to kind of meet those sort of expectations that their customers are going to have. That's certainly one thing that we've done that has been a big value of Divvy to our customers, is that we do offer that real-time insight that we're pushing things to be happening in real time so that our users have that visibility and that control. And it's been something that's resonated really well with the market, that they've come to love, but then also, interestingly enough, that over time they start to then also come to expect it, which kind of makes sense. That's, like I said, I think that's kind of where everything's trending, and the fintech industry that needs to sort of catch up in that.
What about from a global perspective? Do you find that that fintech is going to be kind of more at a global level versus at a country level, and the integrations and kind of the real-time connections are going to deepen there? Because there seem to be quite a few barriers still and kind of some sluggishness.
Yeah, that's a good question. That one's hard too, because I think, like you kind of said, there are some barriers to that are outside of just being a technology concern, that, you know, every country and even the states here in the United States have different laws and rules around how you can do certain things. But even when you go on a global scale, on one hand, people are working more globally, right? Like in the kind of payment space for businesses and whatnot, that yeah, we're seeing customers traveling and working everywhere around the globe, making payments to and from everywhere on the globe. But that it's still hard because there are differences in how different countries will work and things. It's not just a matter of you have to globalize or localize your software, and you have to scale in certain ways and distribute in certain ways with your technology. It's there's things that are sort of outside your control with compliance and tapping into the financial networks that exist in the different places throughout the world that aren't connected. And I think that's maybe more on something that could happen long term, is that they would look to tie things together more and more, so that it's sort of almost sort of like the backbone of payments and financial technology throughout the world, where it is sort of come together and connect better around the world. That would then create the foundation where all the software built on top of it, like Divvy, for example, can then take advantage of that. And it would be much easier for us to do that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So what are some things that you're doing at Divvy to really prepare for these fast moving technology changes?
Yeah, so there's a couple things. So one is just kind of plugging into the industry, plugging into what's kind of happening around us. That looks like going to conferences, talking with our partners and getting insight from them, getting an understanding of again, kind of sort of how maybe like the foundation of it is shifting and moving, and then how we can shift and react in relation to that. It's also for us, we have people that we almost focus on that to some degree. So to maybe share a little insight into like our organizational structure strategy within engineering here at Divvy, is we have people here that are more charged as leaders, not over people, but charged to lead sort of like on the technology front. And part of that is to network and explore out on what's kind of happening in the space. What are things that we're seeing that either A, we should react to because you know, maybe someone's had a good idea with something, is pushing a certain way, and we sort of have to react to it, or maybe something else has happened that we can then creatively kind of take advantage of, if that makes sense. And so it's looking at those different things and tying them back to, at least for us at Divvy, how it affects us. But again, it's interesting because some of it's very slow moving, and so it's really easy to see where some things are going because it's a very slow process for some of these kind of bigger players that have just more to move. But then also there are some of the smaller players like us that move a lot faster, and just making sure that we have that we're kind of networked and plugged into what's going on around us to see when those things happen.
So what do you see as some of the top challenges to be aware of or to keep an eye on for engineering leaders and teams?
I'd say that most leaders will agree that finding and retaining top engineering talent is always a challenge, that it's such a competitive market almost anywhere that you are. And it becomes really difficult to find great engineers, and then sometimes even harder to keep them around long enough to ramp up and continually be productive. So something that Divvy's done to help with that is we've learned that engineers are at their hearts lovers of technology, of course, right? That's why they're in the field. They want to work with technology that is exciting to them, and they want to build technology that is exciting for others. And so it helps to have a great product that they can get behind. It helps to have a market that they can understand and at least somewhat sympathize with, right? And not every company is going to be able to have that. Not every company has a product that, you know, I call it like you can pitch it to your grandma and she'll understand what you're talking about and somehow get excited about it. Mm-hmm. But I think that what we can do, what we've done is make sure that we're using technologies to build our software, to build our technology that excite engineers, that when we're interviewing them, we tell them things like, yeah, we're constantly pushing out code, that we have engineers that are pushing code out to production, you know, minute by minute and hour by hour, because it's important to us that they're able to see their work go out and to be used by customers. That's really exciting to them, that we're using more progressive technologies that maybe you've wanted to use for a while where you currently work but couldn't get adoption on your team with it. You have to be careful because I think it's common for engineers to get too excited about technologies and to see something kind of come up and say, that's the new up and coming technology, and it's it becomes almost like this flavor of the week mentality where, well, we should use this library, we should use this language, or we should use this framework. And you can't always cater to that, of course, because you'd be constantly rewriting things in every whatever language and technology, and that's not productive for the business, and that's not helpful for the customer. But if you can kind of walk that balance between adopting good ideas, being more progressive but not too far out there, then you'll first be able to excite your engineers and be able to get them really excited about what they're using to build technology and to build software. And because of that, they'll be able to do a better job of building great software. And that's where they feel reward, and that reward will keep them around.
You know, you've touched on a number of things in this, and we have listeners that are maybe CEOs as well as engineering leads. And then we also have quite a few developers that are listening, and you've mentioned some, I think, really important things for them to just kind of, whether it's mindset or that curiosity or that adaptability that you had mentioned. But if they do want to stay current and always be learning, what have you found is some of the best ways to do that? You had mentioned like being connected, connected into what? Is it local meetups? Is it the, you know, like, are there some ways that people can really just stay more current than others? And, you know, what have you found to work for you?
Yeah, so that's, it's been a mixture of meetups, like you said. In fact, we even host a few meetups here at the Divi headquarters. And I think that's great because, for one, it shows your own company, your own engineers, that you are investing in this and that it's important to you, because you're saying, hey, I want to sponsor and host a meetup. So that's obviously something that we want to do and we want to be involved with. But then you're bringing those ideas essentially to you as well, and fostering a community around you that you can tap into. And having your engineers be part of that and encouraging them to be connected by attending the meetups, by going to conferences, by just plugging into the engineering community at large, or the even more specific technology communities, right? You start to build a community that you can tap into when you have questions, or when you might hear things faster or sooner, or hear the good ideas. Because I think I've seen that if you go too much to the media, for example, you know, we always kind of joke that there's never been a good idea that comes from reading a blog post, because it's all too common to have someone say, well, I read this post and it championed this idea or technology, I think we should adopt it. And often the problem with that is that it's just kind of like a single kind of data point. Whereas if you're tapped into the community, either local or even everywhere, right? It's not hard to chat with someone in a totally different part of the world nowadays. And so you can tap into a bigger community where you don't just have a single data point or multiple data points, but you also have people that have the experience. And so we, you know, even just recently, we've tapped into some of our networks and communities. Some of our engineers have, some of our leaders have, to ask questions of, hey, here's a challenge that we have. How did you guys overcome this? Or, hey, you know, that we're hearing about this new technology, like, what do we think about it? What are your experiences with it? And so being very involved in meetups and community events and conferences, I think, has been really big for us. Again, we have people that's sort of their job, that's part of their job description, is to create like those technology radars and to kind of search out and see what technologies are there to help us, and also to invest in those connections and things like that. So that's been really helpful for us. It's a great resource. So I would definitely suggest that, and it kind of happens at every level. I would suggest that the engineers find ways to get connected, not just to other engineers at the company, but outside, and that leaders should as well.
That's some really good advice. You know, you had mentioned, I love your comment about the good ideas are never coming from a blog that you read. But speaking of blogs that you read or forums you kind of are scanning and paying attention to, are there any that you can give our listeners some advice on? Is there anything that you do think is interesting and where there are some really cool conversations happening?
It's funny. I mean, I feel like if I were to say, yeah, there are some good blogs that I read a lot, it might be a little dishonest, because I sort of search around for blogs here and there. I wouldn't say that I'm consistently reading just one or two blogs or listening to just one or two podcasts. Not that I think it's necessarily a bad idea, but I think, again, I feel like we get more value when we're maybe seeing those things, but then getting more involved in the community itself. I feel like it's kind of more that.
That makes perfect sense. And I think that's a totally great recommendation for our listeners, for sure. Greg, I just really want to thank you so much for your insights. And it was a great discussion, sharing your thoughts with us on this Moving Fast Tech podcast. And it was really awesome to have you as our guest. Thanks again for being here today.
Yeah, thanks again for having me. This has been great.
Thanks again. So listeners, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast channel and then join us next time for another Moving Fast Tech podcast so you can hear from industry leaders about the latest technology, how they're preparing their company for the future, and just some challenges to consider. Thanks again.